Y'all know that's real. Amen. I'm really grateful y'all didn't run. Y'all spiritually mature. Because I hadn't met many pastors that like talking about this, but it has to be communicated. Amen. It has to be, because it started in the garden. Amen. It was picked up by Abel. Then it was picked up by Abraham. Then it was picked up by Jacob. If you follow the trail, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus shows up and makes it very clear. Amen. And he got on to the religious group because they wasn't given the right way. He said, you ought to give that, but you shouldn't leave out the more weightier matters. It's how we give mercy and judgment to others, righteous judgment, that is, compassion. Is anybody tracking with me? We're in a series called A Life Worth Celebrating. And the only way that you and I can really celebrate him is the topic of today's message. We think of him first. That's what the Lord spoke to me yesterday morning and changed everything on me. Creative team, we had a good time, didn't we? God bless you for being so faithful on Friday. But Saturday morning shifted. And the Lord just really gave me a passionate thought that's really getting into my spirit big time right now, because it's the truth. And when I saw my wife this morning, I thought of him. And I told her, I said, when I saw you this morning, I was thinking of Jesus. The enemy don't want us to catch this. Because if when I see you, I don't think of him, I'm not giving right. Amen. I'm not celebrating right. If I see you as he sees you, I thought of him first. Can we just drop the mic and have an altar call right now? You follow me? We're in a good season right now. And God has given us an opportunity to step into a dimension of receiving from him. Because he promises some things to us that the enemy don't want us to catch. Amen? And if we will think of him first, he promises to protect us. Does anybody need protection? Does anybody need comforting in challenging times? Amen. I'm not the answer, he is. And so I need God in my life. I want to read in 1 John 4:18. This will help us better understand a life worth celebrating. This is what John wrote. Such love hath no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. Anybody ever been frustrated? Worried about how you're going to pay the bill at the end of the month? This thing's been crazy. Before? Is this tracking? If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Where does this experience of perfect love come from? Covenant promise. We get baptized with an experience of his love that we can't explain. All we can do is just keep telling everybody about it. It's joy unspeakable, full of glory. But we don't worry about nothing, because we've experienced this perfect love through baptism of spirit and fire, covenant promise, right? Reading on. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. I'm just pausing for a fig right now. If you say you love God and you have heartburn with anybody, I need Jesus, y'all. Y'all pray for your pastor. Because the only time I've ever had heartburn, it's always been involved with people. And people is God's treasure. Okay? Pastor Lowe, you won't shut up about that. That's right, because daddy won't shut up about what he's in love with. He's always talking about his kids. And I'm getting mad at him, because they're my brothers and sisters. We're all siblings, right? It's all right if I knock you out and you knock me out, but nobody else can, right? Sometimes real talk is important, isn't it? And so here we have, he says, if someone says, I love God, but hate a fellow believer, that person is a liar, for we do not love people. If we can't love people, we can see. How can we love God whom we cannot see? So this morning when I saw my wife, I thought of him. Is that a true statement? Because the only way I can hear God on her behalf is I need to be thinking about him when I look at her. And if I go there with him, guess what comes back? Honeymoon. Is anybody tracking? Come on, this is important. There's some things that we can do today that's so simple and light. It's not a heavy burden. Ain't going to beat nobody up. Is we just pause for station identification and we think of him first. You go to HEB. You walk up to the cash register. You think of him first when you see the cashier. When that person comes by you and calls you number one on the road, you think of him first. And you can bless and curse not. Pastor Lowe, be careful here now. We're tracking because it's going to take God for you to get through this world. It's going to take a demonstration of him being king of his kingdom within so that from his kingdom, out of you, goodness can pour into the earth. Can't do that if I don't think of him first. Amen. So he's looking for room in his house, isn't he? This is the way we see faith, family, and finances at New Life Fellowship. You ready? The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. And most Christians are scared when you even pronounce that name, Malachi. It's like, oh, he's going to be talking about money. No. If money's a problem, you may need to work it out with him. But that's not the theme of Malachi. You know what the theme of Malachi is? God finding room in his house. God wants to return to his house. He tells them, manifest in flesh, when they were standing before him. He says, you know, the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. The reason God was on a mission when he come in flesh was he was looking for his house. Oh, you can read it all through the prophets. Isaiah talks about it. For with a stammer lip and another tongue shall he speak to this people. This is the rest wherewith the weary may find rest. Go check the content of the story or the topic that Isaiah, he's talking about a weary God. Like God can get tired. Yeah, God gets tired of being rejected. And he wanted to be in his house. He was the one wearied, and he looking for his house. And so he tells the prophet, this sign is going to be evident that I have found rest in my house. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. I'm going to give them a covenant that when I come in covenant with them, they're going to experience something for me that's going to make room for me in my house. Know ye not that you're at the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not your own, you've been bought with a price. Is anybody need any more scriptures on this? Who are you? You're pretty powerful. But you don't hear that all of the time. Because most of the people that you hang out with aren't thinking of him first when they talk to you. Where are they getting their thoughts? Come on. Didn't it say, Paul said to the church that was going through trouble? I mean, they were getting fed to lions. They were getting sacrificed. Nero was just wreaking havoc all over the then known Providence. And he tells those to be encouraged. Think on these things which are true, just, honest, and of a good report. They're pure. Be any virtue, be any praise, think on him first. And if you'll do that, come on, it don't matter what you're faced with, my God, your God, shall supply all of your needs according to your riches, his riches. And he's got a lot more than your bank account can hold. But it don't equal money. It equals the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy. If you got that, you got everything you need. If you don't have two pennies to rub together, if you got that, you got all you need. And so he tells the prophet to go to Israel in the book of Malachi in the first chapter. He said, I want to get back to my house. But in order for me to get back to my house, there's got to be some repentance. And we've made that a habit around here at New Life Fellowship. We just, this is an ongoing thing. We repent. In other words, we change the way we think so that we can live differently. the way a man or woman thinks, so are they. Everybody agree? And so what you think on can either be life or death to you. That's why we're going to think about him first. Because I want to celebrate a life, capital L-I-F-E, worth living. So we think about him first. And he says, you tell Israel, you tell my church, which is the top of the church today, because it was the last book, this book of Malachi, that sets up the Messiah to step in, God in flesh, and show us how to do it. Oh, you want to hear the rest of this message today? Because the first chapter is you and I returning back to our faith in God. He or she that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Return to your faith. Faith comes by hearing the voice of God. And so if you don't start there, you can't make room for him. He's got to have room in his house. And so not only do we return back to him with our faith, we return back to him in family. Oh, yeah, who are we? We're the family of God. Chapter 2. And that members, as members of his body, rooted and grounded and settled, fitly joined together, we make up the body of Christ. Come on, he's got to have his body. That's his house. I'm not just the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm a member of the body as a temple of hosts, but the body together collectively is the body, the temple of God. We tracking? Thirdly, chapter 3, we return to God in those things we value. Finances. Things we call treasure. How do we do that? We think of him first. This thing started in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? It picked up with Abel, went to Abraham, went to Jacob. Ah, Moses showed up. He had to write it into the law too. But it was before the law. Because in order for you to find out what's wrong in your life about why you don't have the faith you need to win, why you're not connected like you should to the body of Christ, and why you have issues in your bank account, whatever it is you treasure, you got to go back to the foundation, the fundamental foundation, an ordinance and a principle that's a kingdom of God principle. God is first. And he tells Adam, he says, Adam, look, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you dominion. I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you power. You can have it all, but one thing. There's one tree that's going to be attractive to you. It's going to be real attractive. He says, that's the one tree, that's the one thing that is mine. It makes me Lord. It validates me in the relationship. It's the one thing that when you see, you should think of me when you see it. Oh, yeah, this is good today. But there come a day when Adam says, you know what? I'm not going to think of him first. I'm going to think of myself first. And our daddy, we're not beating him up because he just don't know what he don't know. Ignorance is real, isn't it? And he got to learn what he didn't know. Because the day he thought of himself first is the day the enemy had access to come in and take him out. And how many have been beat up before in your walk with Jesus because you didn't think of him first? Every one of us. I know silence is real, but today the enemy is upset because he's got to work overtime now to try to come steal your faith from you, your family from you. He wants to keep stealing your treasure from you because he don't want God to ever get back to his house, chapter 4. The whole book of Malachi is God returning to his house. And then in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have God in flesh showing up to show us how to think of his Father first. And Jesus, as sonship, shows us as sons and daughters how to think of our Father first. We only say what we hear him say. We only do what we see him do. And when we walk like that, guess what follows? So cities get turned right side up. Come on, if we ever start thinking about him first, San Antonio is going to get an earthquake of God's glory. If we ever, come on, the church has got to catch this. Because I'm telling you, in mainstream Christianity right now, the group that says, you know, water baptism is not necessary, and everybody, New Life knows it's not a question. He that believes in his, Jesus said it, red letter, he that believes in the baptism, the same shall be saved. He that believes not is in trouble. And then he tells his disciples, he said, I want you to go out and I want you to carry this message. And when they deliver this message to every nation, after the message to deliver, they commanded all of them to be baptized. And Jesus prays in John 17, 20 for every one of us in this house. He prays for everyone that would believe on him through their words, the disciples' words. I don't know about y'all, but Jesus prayed for me and you to believe on him through the apostles' words. Guess who I'm going to believe? The apostles. I want to be a part of Jesus' prayer. And any other voice that's saying anything contradictory to the apostles, I ain't going there because I'm thinking of him first. The same group that says water baptism is not necessary tell you tithing is not necessary. It's all over mainstream Christianity. And most Christians do not believe that God is first. Just pausing for effect right now. Because every one of us, even they'll tell you, that don't sound right. I don't believe in tithing, but I certainly don't believe that we should say God isn't first. Well then, hello. The tithe is holy, God said. God, not no prophet. God said the tithe is holy. It's set apart. It's the one thing, anything that you value. And I got to say this again. Men, do you like honeymoon in your house? Then you better start thinking of him first. Because you ain't going to have honeymoon in your house without God. Ladies, did I just tell the truth just then? Ladies, you like honeymoon in your house? Then you better start thinking of him first. And God has a plan. And we got to revisit God's plan and understand that for us, with God, all things are possible. Without him, we can do nothing. And this message today is directed to all of us and challenging all of us to make room for him in his house. And God's the one saying this, not Dwayne Lowe. God's the one saying, return back to your faith in me, return back to the family, and return back, amen, to handling the finances correctly. Amen. God's saying it so that I can get back in my house. Anybody want Jesus in the house? He's not going to live in a house that has him second. He has to have all of our hearts. He can never be, but God's merciful. God, yes, he is. That's why you're living today. He's giving you another chance to make room for him in his house. But God loves me. He's not going to make me. No, he ain't going to make you. He's going to let you keep choosing death until you decide to choose him to be first. And when you choose him, all of a sudden, things are going to shift because he's our protector. You know, he has the best insurance plan there is. I mean, health, car, home, life. I mean, how many insurance plans are there? It's all one bundle to him. And the only premium cost to this insurance plan from heaven, which protects us and keeps us and heals us, is tithe. We think of him first. That's how we pay the premium on the insurance plan. It's a choice. I don't have to pay it. He's not making anybody pay the premium. Because first of all, the premium that you have to pay don't belong to you in the first place. He gave you the premium, and you'll see if you'll buy the insurance. Pastor Lowe, why you got to go do it like that? You see, he not only gives you everything you need, he gives you the ability to put him first. But God has given humanity this thing called choice. That's awesome, isn't it? Everybody agree? choice is, wow, man, that's a privilege. God has given humanity choice. That's powerful. But not only did he give us choice, and it's powerful, he gave us the most dangerous thing we could have, and that's choice. Because most people choose death without realizing that it's not as pretty as it looks. It looks pretty, but the end is death. Me having it my way just don't work in my relationship with my wife. Me having it my way does not work me serving you, amen, as a pastor, a teacher, an equipper. It just don't work. But when I think of him, when I approach you, and when he's telling me, I'm going to help somebody today, he encourages me, amen, son, you can't do this, but I can if you'll just let me be Lord in my house. Think of me first and watch my glory work. Amen. And so this is good for all of us today. And I just want to challenge you as it relates to three very important things that happen when we think of him first. Amen. Number one, what does testing God by thinking of him first in our lives, what does it actually prove? It proves tithing is biblical. And I've already pretty much proved that to you. And you can go online and get all the scriptures that validate it and all the illustrations of great patriarchs that validate it. And one of the big things that I want to challenge you with today on the fact that tithing is biblical is because for you to live up to your true identity, you'll be a child of Abraham. And when you read in Hebrews chapter 7, you'll find out in chapter 7 of Hebrews that for you to qualify to be a child of Abraham, you walk even as Abraham walked, being faithful in thinking of God first. Isn't that interesting? And that when you tithe, guess who receives that tithe? God. Hebrews chapter 7, which qualifies you to be a child. You, if you're not honoring him first, you can't be a child of Abraham. Just pause for effect. It says it there in half chapter 6. He says, when you and I return to God, him his tithe, we don't give it, we return it to him. I'm going to pause for a minute there. You don't return, you don't give what don't belong to you, you don't return it. You can't give what don't belong to you, you can only return it. When I think of my wife and I think of him first, I'm returning to him what belongs to him. He gave her into my life. I'm returning to him what belongs to him. She don't belong to me, she belongs to him. She's in my life because he loves me. That's my wife, bless God. No, it ain't that way. No, I'm a steward of his treasure. I think of him first. And that's the only way I can be a blessing to her. That's the only way she can be a blessing to me. Is that we put him first in our relationship. This is very, very good. You cannot give what you don't belong to you. If you think you can give a tithe, you're already deceived. You can only return it. Go check God. God's the one said it. How have we left you, Lord? And how do we return to you, Lord? In returning the tithe and the offering. And by the way, this is important. Did you know you can't even give an offering until you first return the tithe? That you don't even qualify in giving anything until you first return what belongs to God. Then and only then can you qualify to be able to give. And it's the giving portion from our hearts that raises the windows of heaven. Pastor Lowe, does this say that? Yeah, if you take the time to go check it out, God's the one that said it. And it becomes your insurance policy when you return to him in faith, in family, and in treasure, finances, whatever you value. It becomes your insurance policy. He promises he would protect you and keep you and guide you. He may not give you a big bank account, but he gave you the kingdom. I think I'd prefer a bank account. No, you don't. No, you want righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what you want. And if he happens to give you a bank account, okay. But it's not about materialism in this world. It's about something else. Because the church has not yet got a hold of the Great Commission right. And when we get passionate about the Great Commission, it's because we think about him first. Amen? So, until I think about him first, I haven't returned to him what belongs to him. Now, I know convictions in this room. What's beautiful about it, there is no condemnation. Nobody's picking on anybody. But the truth will make you free. Anybody want to be free? Anybody want to have fun? Anybody want to be a kid in daddy's playground? Amen. You want to hoop and holler and just have a good time and be free? Think of him first. And when we put him where he belongs, at that point, he'll get in his house. Once he gets in his house, what's going to happen to your heart? All of a sudden, you become just like him. You're a giver. Now you can give an offering. Now you can give over and above the responsibility of making him Lord in your life. He's in the house, and he's the one giving through you. And the more you give, it comes, I'm talking about judgment and mercy. And if he says give money, you give money too. We're thinking of him. Amen. The second thing that is important for us to know when we think of him first is that tithing is a test. Tithing is a test. You know, Jesus tells a religious group, he says, you've been faithful in your giving of spice and mint and grain and these things. He said, you should do that. But you've left out the more weightier matters of judgment and mercy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this. If that was the only verse in the Bible that I read where Jesus said, look, you ought to return your tithe. You ought to do that. But you need to finish giving your tithe. You hadn't finished. You gave a portion of the tithe, but you didn't give all of it. In other words, I gave of my finances, but I didn't give to my family and my faith. You should be sure you give the first fruit of the ground and of the cattle, but there's more of the tithe than just what you value. There's relationships involved. And until you give the whole tithe, you haven't returned to me yet. I'm waiting on you to return to me so I can have lordship in my house. That's what God said. Does anybody believe God said that? And Jesus shows up, God in flesh, and shows us how to do it, and comes as the Word of God made flesh and tells the truth. All I need is just that one verse from Jesus, and I'm all in, because I want to be a follower of Christ. And he knew how to do it. Thank you, Father. It's a test. Is God testing us? No, he's not testing us. We're testing him. We're putting him front and center. And God uses the tenth as always the element of test in the Old Testament, throughout the scriptures, and the new as well. Let me read this to you, a little test. Anybody ready to take a test? I'll ask the question, you give me the answer. You ready? You can do this. How many times did God challenge Pharaoh to test him in Egypt? 10 plagues, right? How many commandments are there? How many times did God challenge Israel to test him in the wilderness? How many times did Jacob put God to a test with wage changes with his father-in-law? How many days did Daniel faithfully be faithful? How many days was Daniel faithful in being tested of God? How many virgins was involved in the challenge that God gave, the test that God gave? 10. How many days of testing are mentioned in the book of Revelation? How many wives does Solomon have? 10 times 100, huh? God has set up our approach to him. And he's made it very simple. All he's asking from us is just to think of him first. if you pause long enough, what he's asking from us is just a portion. Just a part is all he's asking. And he's asking us to gracefully return it to him. And if we'll do that, then the other portion, which is 90%, is blessed. But he's not going to bless it unless you test him. I got to say that again. Somebody tweet that. He ain't blessing what you have until you test him. Anybody want God to bless what you got? And where'd you get it from? God. Oh, man. And as a daddy, I want to bless what I give my children. But I can't bless everything I give them until they honor the one that gave it. That's just the way our daddy made us. And he wants to be respected as the one that will protect and provide and keep and cover. And the only thing he's asking for him to cover and keep us is to think of him first. Amen. So tithing, number three, if we think of him first, we prove that tithing is a blessing. It is a blessing. Israel went into a recession. I'm going to close the next few moments, y'all. Bear with me. I'm going to have mercy and deviate, let y'all go muse over this from heaven. Israel's in a recession. Things ain't going good. King Hezekiah is kind of like getting heartburn right now because he's observing the kingdom and it's in trouble. Recession has hit. Did you know in God's economy, there's no such thing as recession? In God's kingdom, it's not that way. But the evidence of recession is lack of thought on God being first. Hezekiah revisits his faith. And he goes and begins to read about God's plan, his ordinances. And he began to read through the ordinances. He found where God expects us to return the thing that's holy to him. And if we don't do this, then this was what happens. And so Hezekiah says, I haven't been walking in faith. And he calls not only the fact of faith, he gets it corrected. He repents. He calls all the family together, Israel, and says, look, we ain't been doing well. Gather up all the tithe, everything that belongs to God, and return it back to the house of God. And all Israel said, yay, and they worshiped. And guess what happened? God returned to his house. Hezekiah comes after just a short while. He comes back to the temple. And my goodness, all the grain and all the cattle and all the men, it was piled up. And so in his heart, he's thinking, man, the people are hurting. They've been giving so much. And the priest said, go check. And as the guy checked, and all the people were blessed more than they'd ever been blessed before. And recession ceased because Israel made room for him in his house. Thinking of God first validates blessing in our life. We'll close with this illustration so that you can better understand what God's trying to say. Anybody ready to think of him first? And honey, I'm going to be careful going down. She don't like me doing this. Is there three men here would come up here? I need three sons. I'm not going to make you the bad guy this time. You can be the good guy. He was the bad guy last service. You're going to be the bad guy. All right, there's a third one coming. I'll take four sons. Let's do this. Amen. Y'all face me, and I'm going to talk to them, and I'm going to treat you as my sons. I got four sons here, and I'm going on a journey. And got a big business. You're kings in this business. You're priest. But I'm going to give you some resources so that you can take care of the business while I'm gone. And so I give each one of my sons $10,000 a month. to take care of the business. But there's one catch. Of that $10,000, there's a portion that's going to go to the wife, my wife, your mom. And that's all I'm asking from you, to take care of the business, to take that portion and give to my wife, your mother. Honor me by doing that. And all the sons say, amen. I honor you, Daddy. I heard you. I got the instruction. And so I go on this journey. But I'm calling back and I'm checking in with my wife. And I'm asking her about my boys. And she's giving me the download about my boys. So when I get back from my long journey, I have a meeting with my boys. Amen. Because I really am in love with my boys, but don't mess with the wife. Right? Is anybody tracking? And so I've got a son that, man, not only did he give that portion I asked him, he gave over and above. And wow, what happened to the business? But I had one son, he came to the conclusion, man, I can't afford to give your wife, my mother, this because I need it to be able to make this thing work. Because you know, Dad, your business is a tough business. Anybody tracking? Does our daddy love his wife? Does he? Does he mean business with his wife? So as sons, I take what I've been giving you because you can't be faithful with it. Not because I want to do this, because you made a choice. And because you chose this, that's how the enemy plays. Daddy don't want his boy. He's got to get his boy's attention now. The enemy's able to come in and take it. But it's given to the one that's faithful over and above. The window's open. This is what's happening in mainstream Christianity on an ongoing basis. Because there's voices that saying, oh, that's not necessary. That was under the law. And they've discounted Jesus as the example of showing us how to make room for God in his house. Amen. Thank you, men. Did you know that my wife is a type of the church? Did you know that his wife, when we're planted, grounded, and settled in God's plan, that it equals the local church? And that as stewards of what belongs to God, we cannot designate the tithe to anything? Did y'all know that? That's holy to God. That for me to take a moment and think about, well, I'm going to return God's tithe to him, but I'm going to decide how it's used. You can't think of him first and do that. That's lack of trust in God. I'm saying these things so you can get free. Do y'all know I don't need a dollar from anybody here? I need Jesus. I need the kingdom of God. I don't need a dollar. But I am not okay with relationships that are busted, broke, and disgusted, beat up. I believe in Jesus, but we don't know why we're going through hell on earth. Yeah, I can tell you. My office is often filled with precious people that God loves, wondering why they're going through hell. And it can be tracked because they hadn't fully returned God's whole tithe. It's not about money, ladies and gentlemen. It's about judgment and mercy. God wants his kingdom to come out of here like rivers of living water, so that as king of his kingdom, his goodness can spill into the earth. He can't do that if he don't have our heart. Did you know God's not going to finish this thing without us? But he's got a big problem in mainstream Christianity. We're not giving him our hearts, and we're not thinking of him first. And the word of the Lord is challenging every one of us to return to him in faith, family, and finances so that he can come back and be king of his kingdom within. And the hearts of the fathers will turn back to the children, and the children's hearts will turn back to the fathers. It's not happening no other way, ladies and gentlemen, until we start thinking of him first. I'm just going to tell you, when I see you and I think of him first, there's an automatic unction of prophecy that comes up in my spirit. When I see you and I think of him first, all of a sudden a gift of knowing happens, and God wants to bless and build up and strengthen. And we're wondering how we're going to, you know, God, I want to be used. God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. Please use me, Lord. But we won't think of him first. We want to be a part of what God's doing. But if you ever put him first in your thought process, all of a sudden the true King of Kings, the true identity that you're called into is Christ, all of a sudden the gifts of the Spirit start coming. And you can't help but give everybody a hug and bless. And when somebody really hits you hard, it's okay, because you're thinking of him first. And now you know him in the fellowship of his servant. You're able to turn the other cheek. And if you get hit the second time, that's okay, because you can stand there for. Because you're thinking of him first. Otherwise, you're ruined. And you go find somewhere else to be a participant in what you believe is the kingdom of God. Did y'all know we're not getting there without going through much tribulation? And the tribulation that we're going through happens to do with the person in the mirror. It's not anybody. It's the person in the mirror. The boy in the mirror that I look at, he causes me more trouble than anybody. But when I think of him first, I got that old boy back in the grave. And instead of me being offended with people, guess what? I'm quick to forgive because he forgave me. A debt I couldn't pay off. And I'm going to hold somebody captive on a debt they can pay back? Oh, no. I'm thinking of him. Dude, what he did for me, and I'm not going to beat you up because, man, I deserve to be dead right now. Why am I going to be mad at you? Anybody tracking? That's how you return the whole tithe. So if God's telling you to write $1 million check, do what he tells you, but that's not what turns God on. You need to do that, but you need to be merciful and forgive, because if you're not forgiving, that's the one thing that equals blaspheming the Holy Spirit. God came and forgave me when I didn't deserve to be forgiven and demonstrated it on a cross. That's why you and I should all say together, I don't know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I think about it all the time. And when you get hurt by somebody, you can forgive them and not blaspheme his forgiveness in your life, because the only thing God cannot forgive is unforgiveness. And some of us need to return the whole tithe and start releasing relationships right now. Some of us need to get this string straight and start letting people go. We're holding in prison because they did. Man, they need to make it right with me. They deserve to come and repent to me. Okay. Tell me how that works out for you. And my office gets traveled often by people that have a Bible study on why someone needs to come get it right with them. And I'm thinking to myself, you're not making room for him in his house. As long as you feel like you're the one that needs to be worshipped, God will back away. He'll back away as long as you think you need to be worshipped. And he'll let you get your body slammed until you get delivered. Because the devil does his work well. It's not a suggestion to the devil. He's commanded. When the door opens, go in, do your job, because humility's on the way. Until we give the whole tithe. Well, until we return the tithe, the whole tithe. And then we are able to give. Amen. Anybody want to give like Jesus? Isn't it amazing how we all want to give like Jesus? But the process, the steps to make room for him in his house so that we're able. You got to have him on the inside, King of Kings, inside of your life to be able to do that. But he's not going to come in and live in his house until he has our whole heart. Some of y'all heard today finally for the first time, and you've always been attracted to Jesus. And you've went to church pretty regular, but finally your ear turned on today. And you've realized, you started putting the pieces together. Oh, my God, that's what's been going on. I've been worshiping me, telling everybody I follow Jesus. Isn't it amazing how many people are followers of Jesus, but they don't actually follow him? The Lord just challenged all of us just then. We're associated in our world, in our culture, has not made room for him. And most people that say they follow him haven't followed him one step. Because when you follow Christ, these signs follow them that believe. And those signs ain't evident. And we're not sign seekers. But if they're not evident, there's your evidence. You're not following. You haven't given him your whole heart. You haven't returned his tithe. You don't think of him first. That's changing today. Man, the presence of God in this room, nobody's condemned. Everybody's like, man, I'm convicted right now. Yeah, Lord. I'm going to make it a point to think about Jesus when I see my spouse. I'm going to think about Jesus when I see my brother and sister. I'm going to think about Jesus everywhere I go. I want to return the whole tithe so that he can have room in his house. And then the gifts can operate and the fruit of the Spirit can manifest. Can we stand?